Welcome to episode 20 of ATS Radio. My name is Jim Bernica. I'm here with Professor Dr. Jeff Burgess from the University of Arizona. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Jim.
So last time I saw you was almost a year ago. I got to hang out with you there in Tucson. You showed me the labs and went over all this stuff, and which was absolutely incredible, all the different aspects of research that you're working on for all of us firefighters. But one of the things I remember you talking about was IARC and how there is going to be a meeting in 2022, which was over a year from then. So, you know, in June, and here we are in July, and that meeting has happened and everything else has happened. So I just wanted you to kind of talk about how significant this was, because back then, a year ago, when I was hanging out with you, this was still an idea. Nothing had happened. So I guess I'm kind of moving a little bit fast here, but let's back up, because we'll get to all that stuff. What is IARC?
IARC is the International Agency for Research on Cancer. And so they are part of the World Health Organization. They're located in Lyon, France, and they are the international group or body that decides whether something is a carcinogen. So most of the time they work with individual chemicals, like, for example, benzene is a known human carcinogen, what they call group one. But however, they also do some occupations, and this is the second time they've done firefighting.
So when they did firefighting last, what did they determine that was?
So when they met in 2007, so it's about 15 years ago, there was less research available at the time, fewer epidemiologic studies, less information on how chemicals and other exposures that firefighters have could cause cancer, what we call mechanistic information. So based on that limited information back then, they determined that firefighting was a group 2B, which is possibly causing cancer. So in this last round, however, and this is the big deal, they've determined that firefighting is a group one known human carcinogen, or that firefighting is carcinogenic to humans.
And I know that's a pretty big jump. So in 15 years, you were able to have that much research, because we've had research from all over the place, but it was enough to say, hey, this occupation in itself, just being a firefighter, is a known carcinogen.
Yes, and it really was the research studies in the interim in this 15-year period that allowed them to make that higher level determination.
So with that higher level determination, what does that mean for the occupation of firefighting?
Well, you know, I think a lot of us, you know, really felt that firefighting was carcinogenic to humans, even, you know, before this second IARC meeting on firefighting. So many of the things, you know, we've already been doing, you know, we've been trying to reduce exposures. We've been trying to figure out how it is that the exposures cause cancer so that we could, you know, potentially either limit or reverse that in the future. So I think that, you know, for departments that are already really focused on cancer prevention, I don't know that it's going to make too much difference about what the departments do. However, you know, for departments that maybe hadn't been paying as much attention to the cancer problem, you know, hopefully this will provide the emphasis to really be thinking about how they take care of their firefighters. Also, I really believe that this will help with workers' compensation cases. So as we all know, despite having, you know, presumptive cancer laws, a lot of the cases get turned down. And, you know, it's in some cases, you know, eventually the case will be accepted, in other cases not. But this provides additional kind of documentation, if you will, or determination at the highest international levels that firefighting causes cancer in humans. So I think that's a big deal. I think also in other countries around the world that maybe hadn't been looking at firefighting as much. I mean, certainly this would be outside the US and Canada. There are some countries that hadn't been thinking perhaps as much about it. I think that this may make a huge difference for them too, because now they'll see that, you know, firefighting is particularly hazardous.
Touching on the workers' comp aspect real quick, I know each state is different, but even if I can just speak for Ohio, for example, our actual presumptive law was based off of IARC, and it was based off of the group one and level 2A. So the known and the probable carcinogens. So my hope is for all my firefighters in the state, the fact that her occupation is now a known carcinogen will hopefully help, because workers' comp is still fighting all of us, all of our cases.
No, I agree entirely, Jim. I mean, I think that when you have this determination by, again, as I said, you know, the international group that makes this, that makes these decisions, it really should help the individual firefighter with their workers' compensation cases when they get cancer. You know, so I think that will be a win. I really feel though, and you know, we can go over the details of, you know, what IARC determined here, you know, as they've published in this Lancet research article. But, you know, I think really what we need to be thinking about is how do we protect our firefighters from getting cancer in the first place, right? I mean, I think that's really what we need to do. And I think every department needs to really review what they have been doing and think about what additional steps they could be taking to protect firefighters.
Absolutely. I'd love for you to go over the findings of that, but before I even have you do that, does this help you at all and your fellow researchers? Do you think you'll be able to maybe justify even more funds to do further research, and just because now this again is now a known carcinogen? It's not just assuming it is or thinking it is, but there's actual, you know, again, proof now.
Well, I think yes, it could help, but you know, it's as always, the you know, there's different parts of the question. So first of all, I'd just like to remind everyone that FEMA funds a lot of research on firefighter health and safety. And, you know, and that's because all the firefighters, different firefighting organizations got together and, you know, petitioned the government to set aside funds specifically for firefighter research. And because of that, much of the work, including many of the studies that supported this, you know, change in IARC for firefighting from a 2B to a 1, came out of research that was funded from FEMA. There's, of course, other, you know, other sources too in other countries. I don't want to minimize the importance of everyone's research, but we've had good funding from FEMA on firefighter research. And of course, NIOSH has also provided some funding. But I do think that, you know, when you now go to ask any of the institutes of the National Institutes of Health or, you know, any other government organization, and you say, you know, this work is important, you now have an additional piece of information that is determined, you know, again, at an international level, that firefighting causes cancer. So if anyone had a doubt before, this should take care of that.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you again for all the work. It's like I was thinking earlier, you were kind of Babe Ruth last June when we were hanging out, and you called your shot, you know, here it is. So you and I think 31 other researchers, right?
Well, yeah, there were, you know, researchers from around the world. It was a really, they did a great job of bringing together, you know, experts in the field. For example, you know, Kenny Fent from NIOSH was leading the exposure, you know, group. So they kind of divided it into different parts. So there's an exposure, there's mechanism, there's the cancer, there's the epidemiologist too. So, and then there were Dr. Alberto Caban Martinez was there, Dr. Jackie Goodrich, all people who'd worked with the firefighter cancer, cancer cohort study, and as well as Dr. Judith Graber, again, also working with the firefighter cancer cohort study and volunteer, particularly with volunteer firefighters. So there were and again, excellent scientists from around the world with great knowledge about firefighters. They really did pull together an excellent group.
Great, great. Would you mind now going over that article in the Lancet?
Sure. So what's released now is a summary of what they call the monograph. So the document that will come out in 2023 is called Monograph. I think it's 132 is the number. And it takes them a long time to pull everything together. But when it's available, that full document's got, it's just loaded with information about the research that's out there that they use to help support this determination. And I think that'll be a great document for people. But between now and when they publish it, what we have to look at are the article that was published in The Lancet, which is a medical journal, on June 30th. And that's the most complete source. But also, IARC on its website had published an infographic, I think frequently asked questions, and kind of a quick summary as well. So those are the pieces that we have to go on now that, you know, we're allowed to share. So, you know, the greater details of kind of what went on in the meeting, et cetera, I think is not will be available when the full monograph comes out. Now, based on the Lancet article, first of all, the most important thing, as I mentioned, is that occupational exposures as a firefighter is carcinogenic to humans. So it's group one. And as we mentioned previously, that's up from 2B from the last meeting, which was in 2007. And really, this is based on new studies, as we were discussing, both epidemiologic studies, and epidemiology is disease and population. So those are actually looking at cancer rates in firefighters and from around the world, and including, you know, some of the ones that we all, that when we pay attention to this, we think about, for example, Doug Daniels' NIOSH study of Philadelphia, Chicago, and San Francisco. I mean, that was like a new one that came out since 2007 and was, again, really important in the determination. In addition, again, there's the mechanistic studies that we'll go over a little bit today, but those help support, you know, how the exposure can cause cancer. So that's really important, because if you don't have that, it's less, you know, you have less to support the determination. What they found was specifically, they called out two cancers that had what is named sufficient evidence, you know, for cancer in firefighters. And those were mesothelioma, and that's caused by asbestos exposure. And I think that was up around 58% higher than the general population when you averaged, well, not averaged, but when you took studies from around the world. That's called a meta-analysis, when you combine many epidemiologic studies. So they did this during the meeting, and they found, I think, on average, you know, determined by, you know, their formulas, there was a 58% increase in mesothelioma, and they had a slightly smaller increase in bladder cancer. I think it was around 16%, you know, increase over the general population. But these were fairly consistent from study to study. So they felt very comfortable, and they called that sufficient evidence. And the bladder cancer is known to be the result of many exposures that we get, including some of the polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, or PAHs. There was limited evidence and that means that these were all increased when they did this meta-analysis compared to the general population. But they had concerns about one thing or another that didn't allow them to go to sufficient, but, you know, limited is still kind of expresses an increase in the rate. Just they're worried about what might be causing it. Could be something other than firefighting. And there, those groups in that limited category were colon cancer, prostate cancer, testicular cancer, melanoma, and non Hodgkin lymphoma. So I'll stop there for a moment before I talk about the mechanistic data and see if you had any questions on that, Jim.
No, you're doing absolutely great. This is just so informative. And like you said earlier, this is going to be a lot of help to a lot of firefighters, you know, throughout the country and really the world.
And I think, again, the document itself, when it comes out, has a lot of information, you know, about what's been done, and probably the most complete collection that I've seen anyhow of information, at least up to 2022. Realize that the research continues and there's great research coming out all the time. I think that's really will help us move forward. But anyhow, so back to the document. The other thing that they mentioned were this kind of mechanistic data. And this was, you know, pretty special because in the interim period, again, since 2007, there'd been so many studies that they were able to look at five, what they call key characteristics of carcinogens. So these are ways in which exposures can cause cancer. So there were five of them that they determined that had strong evidence of being present with firefighters. And those five mechanisms were genotoxicity, so actual damaging of the DNA, epigenetic alterations, oxidative stress, chronic inflammation, and then receptor-mediated effects, and particularly the activation of aryl hydrocarbon receptor, which is something that dioxins and pH and some other chemicals activate, and which the activation has been associated with cancer. So that's a lot of mechanisms by which exposures can cause cancer. So that's that all, again, supports this group one designation. So again, I'll stop there for a moment and see if you have questions about that, Jim.
You're good. Please continue.
Okay. So some of the other main points that, you know, that they brought out, one was, and this is critical, and we should talk about this for a little bit. It applies to all firefighters. Mm-hmm. All right, so
volunteer, part-time, everybody, right?
All firefighters, including volunteer firefighters, wildland firefighters, you know, you name it. They did not, you know, distinguish between them. They clearly stated that it applies to all firefighters. And that was something that I think is really important. I mean, they could have said we just have it for municipal or structural firefighters. We don't know about anybody else, you know, because most of the research is there. But, you know, given the whole body of evidence, they, you know, because there are studies, for example, on wildland firefighters, fewer on volunteers, but there are some out there. But, you know, together, they felt that there was enough evidence that the basic job of firefighters putting out fires, you know, is going to be pretty consistent. Because of that designation, I think when there's, you know, presumptive cancer laws, et cetera, if they're just applying to the career folks, I think that, you know, some of that should be kind of looked at again and see if they can't be expanded to include volunteer firefighters, for example. So they mentioned some exposures. And so let's talk about that for just a moment. So the one that was kind of up the most in terms of, you know, percentage increase was mesothelioma. And again, this mesothelioma is a result of asbestos exposure. And we've done some studies, including one that Don Bolsted Johnson, who is an industrial hygienist, worked with the Phoenix Fire Department, and I worked with her kind of on this study years ago. But she was doing some work evaluating, or we together, you know, she did the majority of the work, honestly, but evaluating asbestos exposure during overhaul. Because back in, you know, previously, I think firefighters weren't wearing their SCBA during overhaul, particularly if they weren't seeing visible smoke. But in that study, there was documented, you know, exposure to asbestos in Phoenix firefighters. And I think that's going to be true of a lot of cities, obviously, that has older housing where asbestos is present. So I think that that exposure, again, asbestos is about the only thing that causes mesothelioma, really should make fire departments think about making sure that their firefighters are wearing SCBA during overhaul, because we know that there's exposure then. There's probably exposure in other settings too, but we know that one. So I just, any department that isn't really, you know, pressing their guys to wear SCBA during overhaul, or, you know, at least some type of particle respirator, but we, that's another talk that we could have at some point. Those do not work as well as breathing apparatus, and there are problems with them. They can, for example, have formaldehyde breakthrough. We've shown that in the past. So I really recommend breathing apparatus. So that's one of the major, you know, exposures that we know, and we know what to do about, and we know where it is. Then the others are, you know, they mentioned the polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons. Those are always present when you have combustion. And we know that you can get exposed to those both from breathing them in and through the skin. So this really brings us back to this idea of, you know, not just wearing your breathing apparatus whenever you could be around smoke, but also making sure that you, you know, decontaminate your gear so you don't get cross-contamination or get it on yourself when you're taking it out, or getting contaminating your rig, you know, the whole clean cab, et cetera. And then, you know, taking a shower, using wipes at the fire scene, and taking a shower as soon as you get back to the station. So we all know that. I think, again, that they mentioned the pH is, it's something that we should be paying attention to. They also mentioned PFAS, the per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances. And I don't know if we talked about that before or not, Jim, but I'm sure that's been a topic of a number of your podcasts. And, you know, so this is something that we're still in the research phase of figuring out where firefighters get exposed to it. You know, for example, are they getting it from their gear or not? You know, we're still, that's still an operative question. We know it's in the gear. More important, well, not more importantly, because it's all important, but we know, we have clear evidence that it's in some of the mil-spec foam. So if anyone's still using, you know, class B foams that have PFAS in them, unless they're an airport fire department that's still required to use them, they shouldn't be using them. So that's, and then another thing that I personally believe is that if there's any possibility of contamination of the drinking water in the fire station from past use of the PFAS containing AFFF, you know, and that could be around airports, military bases, petrochemical facilities, anywhere else where this type of PFAS containing class B AFFF is used, then it probably isn't a bad idea to get the drinking water checked, because that would be a source of additional exposure for the firefighters. And then the, a couple other things they mentioned again were diesel exhaust. So just again, making sure you minimize your exposure to diesel exhaust, either use recapture or, you know, make sure you have good ventilation otherwise, right, in your apparatus bay. You know, work on your equipment outside, your vehicles outside if you can, and so on. And that really, that I think is a summary. I can't think of any other major points that were listed there that I hadn't already said something about. But do you have any questions about any of that, Jim?
Do you know, is there any follow-up scheduled for when we even have more research to possibly even add more cancers to this list?
You know, I don't know. I think that it's going to be, since firefighting is already considered a group one, I don't know if there'll be the same pressure. Well, not pressure. I don't think there's any pressure on IARC. That the way it works is there's an advisory committee that looks and says to IARC, what they believe the highest priorities should be. And then IARC, will generally follow that list. So the advisory committee would need to figure that out. And I'm not on that advisory committee. So I'm not sure what would cause them to do it again. But since it's already a group one, I guess in my mind, there'd be less, because they have only a limited amount of bandwidth to be able to evaluate a whole bunch of chemicals and other things that are out there, they have to be selective. So I don't know that it'll be anytime soon, would be my guess, because they're going to have priorities perhaps in reviewing other chemicals that hadn't been evaluated yet or had their own, additional research that needed to be included and so on. But we're not doing the research, that we're doing now for IARC per se, right? We're doing it to protect firefighters. And so there's going to continue to be lots of additional research out there to provide information to firefighters so that they can, make choices to keep themselves safer. So for example, with our firefighter cancer cohort study that we, discussed before, that's collaborative research with firefighters. We're doing a lot of work there now continuing to look at exposures in various groups, including wildland firefighters, looking at the effects of those exposures. We're continuing to look at and consider ways that we can reduce exposures or the toxicity of those exposures. So I think that research is really important outside of IARC, whether IARC, looks at firefighting again in the near future or not. We have to really figure out what we can do, what information we can provide firefighters so that they can make choices and keep themselves safe and reduce their risk of cancer.
No, this is all tremendous. And again, I want to thank you. I remember being, in a fire service in which they did not want to believe that cancer was actually killing us, that this wasn't a problem. And in a pretty short amount of time, we've been able to prove that it's definitely a problem. And this is really the highest level can get to justify that. So I just wanted to again thank you for just all your work. I remember being there last June and you just filling up a whiteboard of everything you're working on for us. And I think I told you then, you're never allowed to retire.
Well, it's really enjoyable working with firefighters, Jim. And I want to, emphasize one more time that this is collaborative research. So all the research we've been doing is related to cancer and much of the research that we're doing before that, were the result of questions that came from the fire service and having researchers from departments, for example, like Tucson Fire Department and Los Angeles County and Boston and a bunch of other fire departments that, we've been working with. That's just, I think it's over 30 now. Those firefighters are critical to making sure to identifying the research that's necessary, to helping to organize and collect the data, things like collecting urine after fires, for example, or getting people set up so that, we can come in and enroll people in the studies, and then helping us share the information afterwards, because I think it's really important for the firefighters to be presenting to other firefighters. I'm sure the academics can be there too, but I think a firefighter really understands how that information can help them in a way that unless an academic is a firefighter, they just, it won't be exactly the same. So this collaborative nature of the search is, I think, what will allow us to move forward. And when we find things that they will be able to be, incorporated into the way firefighters do business because they have asked questions the right way, if you will, right? So that we can then make changes. So it is not, put the academicians on a pedestal. It's everyone working together as a team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I did want to get a shameless plug in. I love seeing you virtually, but I'm excited to see you live. I went to you last year. Now you get to come to me this year for the Brothers Helping Brothers Health and Safety Conference, October 26th, 27th, 28th. You're going to be talking on the 26th, and we'll also have our mutual friend, Dr. Sarah Janke, there with you too, where you can do some stuff on your own, but also come together and talk about things that you work together on.
I'm looking forward to it, Jim. Thank you for the invitation.
It's going to be Vegas themed. So I expect you to show up and do your talk in full Elvis attire.
Well, you might be disappointed then.
All right, fine. Wayne Newton, whatever. All right, I'll let you get out of here. He's Dr. Jeff Burgess. I'm not a doctor. I'm just Jim Bernica. And I'll be back next month. I'll also, real quick, I should say, I'll put all the links to everything that Jeff was talking about in the fire engineering and the narrative there. So you can click on this and look at the Q&As and the monograph and also the Lancet article. So he's Jeff. I'm Jim. And we're out of time.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Take care.
Thank you.